Now, who in this studio has had the old beer goggles on? Yeah, when, you know, you sort of had a few, maybe, you know, a sweet sherry or two, and you suddenly think that across the room is the man of your dreams, and it turns out he's some kind of terrible four-eyed ogre or something like that. Horrible. Well, it's a well-known phenomenon, and it does lead people to do things that they regret. And now psychologists at Bristol University have been looking into this, and it seems there's more to it than first meets the eye. And now here we've got Marcus Manafo to explain it a bit more. Hello, Marcus.
Hi.
Hello. So how does this all work? Do beer goggles really exist, and what causes them?
Well, they do seem to exist, and that's probably not a great surprise to most people, as you say. Many of us have been in that situation where we've had a drink and found ourselves finding other people attractive that perhaps before the drink we didn't. This started out really as almost as a bit of fun as a student project, because we were surprised that no one had actually tried to do this in the more controlled environment of a lab. So although it was a popularly understood or believed phenomenon, no one had tried to look at this under controlled conditions. So we did, and we randomly gave people either a drink containing alcohol or a placebo drink that tasted and smelt the same but didn't contain alcohol. And we found that after a relatively small amount, equivalent to a pint and a half of beer or a large glass of wine, people rated other faces as about 10% more attractive. These were faces of male and female participants who were presented on a computer screen, and people just had to rate them on a 7-point scale for how attractive they found them.
And it's definitely the alcohol. Is there a placebo effect in here at all?
Well, we didn't compare the placebo drink with nothing, so there may have been a placebo effect which we didn't detect. But certainly when we compared the placebo condition to the alcohol condition, there was this 10% difference. And what was interesting was that it didn't seem to be restricted to opposite sex faces. So we, for that reason, explicitly recruited people who described themselves as heterosexual, and even same-sex faces were rated as equally more attractive as opposite-sex faces.
So you just think everything looks great?
Well, pretty much, at least that's what the data look like. And so what we want to follow this up with is to see to what extent the effect is specific to faces. People weren't, because we gave a relatively small amount of alcohol, people weren't saying that they were happier or they weren't reporting any changes in their mood, but they were rating faces as more attractive. So there is a question of whether or not we would rate anything as more attractive.
Like art or something like that?
Like art, like landscapes, things that you could meaningfully describe as attractive might show the same effect. And so we're running a follow-up study to look at this now. But the interesting thing is that this seems to be, potentially at least, and we need to do a few more studies to fine-tune what we think is going on, if you like, it seems to be quite a general effect of alcohol on potentially processing of faces, but potentially processing of anything that we could think of as attractive. But there was one study which looked at this in a more naturalistic environment where they went into a bar. Now, they didn't control for what people had been drinking. They didn't randomly give people one drink or another. So it was a less controlled experiment, but it was conducted in a real-world environment, if you like. And they just asked people how much they'd been drinking and then got them to do something similar to what we did. And in that situation, then the effect was specific to opposite-sex faces. So what we think might be happening is that there's one effect of alcohol, which is that it modifies how we process faces, attractiveness, and so on. And then when that occurs in a particular social setting, where there are social cues to do with, if you like, mate-seeking behaviour and social interaction and so on, then that effect becomes targeted at opposite-sex faces.
And now, you know, if you're at a typical party, it's not just booze that's there. You know, there may be cigarettes if you're at a very exciting party. There may be things like drugs. Do these have an effect on attractiveness as well?
Well, this is where it becomes a little bit more interesting. So finding this effect for alcohol is straightforward enough. Alcohol is an important drug in much of the Western world and is largely used in social situations. The exact nature of those social situations differs across different countries. But you're right, there are plenty of other drugs that we use, including legal ones, very commonly. Caffeine is one, nicotine is another one, and there are other drugs which are not legal in this country at least, which are also used fairly extensively. We looked at nicotine, and we did basically exactly the same study, which was not an easy study to do because, of course, it's illegal to smoke indoors now. And
bad luck.
which there is an exemption in the legislation for research, but for this study, we actually had to do it in the back of a pub, which was a more realistic environment. So we were sat there with a laptop and these quite clever cigarettes, which either do or don't contain nicotine. So you smoke a cigarette and you don't know whether or not it actually contains nicotine. So essentially, you have a placebo condition and a nicotine condition. And what we found was exactly the same effect for nicotine. Now, these were very light smokers. But again, after one cigarette, there was a marked increase in the ratings of attractiveness of faces when the cigarette contained nicotine compared to when it didn't.
That's really intriguing. Do you know why this might be? Do you think certain pathways in the brain are similarly being activated here?
Well, we know that drugs of abuse have the capacity to stimulate the reward system and the dopamine pathway in a part of the brain called the nucleus accumbens, and that might be part of the reason. Nicotine's an interesting case in point, though, because we know quite a lot about why nicotine's addictive. And one of the reasons it's addictive, nicotine's not a drug that gives you a very powerful psychoactive effect in the same way that, say, alcohol does, or cocaine or heroin. Once you've had your first two or three cigarettes, you kind of tolerate the strong response that you get to those. And after that, the effect is relatively mild. But what nicotine seems to do, and there are animal studies which show this using different kinds of experiments, obviously not attractiveness, is that they make everything else that happens around you slightly more reinforcing. So in technical language, if you like, it non-contingently enhances or potentiates the reward value of other things that are happening at the same time.
And in another thing that you sometimes associate alcohol with is not necessarily being attracted to someone, but actually beating them up. If you're being more attracted to people, why does alcohol also fuel violence?
Well, there are lots of social cues that are present in faces, and it's not necessarily the case that alcohol is going to be having uniform effects across all of those different facial cues. So one of the things that we get from faces are judgments of attractiveness. In other words, if we think that they might be a potential mate, then we would direct our attention to towards one sort of person over another, for example. But we also get information about what kind of emotion that person is expressing, whether they're looking at us, whether they are a potential threat. And so there are lots of different cognitive mechanisms and information which is expressed in faces which we can interpret, and alcohol may modify the interpretation of those different pieces of information in slightly different ways. And so we have a program of studies that's looking at this, looking at, for example, judgments of eye gaze and whether or not people are perceived to be looking at us after we've had a drink compared to when we haven't had a drink.
That kind of, are you looking at me? That kind of thing.
Well, exactly that. And people certainly do start to see the world in a different way after they've consumed drugs. And we're seeing this for nicotine and alcohol, which are the two ones we mainly investigate. And there are quite complex and quite subtle effects, which we can reproduce in the lab, but which in the real world probably interact with all kinds of social cues and with the more general disinhibiting effects of alcohol as well.
Absolutely fascinating. Well, that'll keep you busy for a while. And that's Marcus Manafo from the University of Bristol. So thank you very much for joining us on the show, Marcus.
Thank you.
Keeping you abreast of the world's best science, The Naked Scientists.